Oh, yes. 98.9. K223BI. Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, Mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur LaValle with Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry, welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand, as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest in God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this planet as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress.
Persecuted, but not forsaken.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, my Father. Thank you, Father, once again. Thank you, my Father. Thank you, 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 Father, for everything, and all things, Father. I give you thanks, Father, for you are a great God, and you have done great things, my Father. How awesome you are. How mighty you are. How great you are, Father. How loving and kind you are. How merciful you are. What a mighty God you are, Father. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that you love us so much that you sent your only begotten Son, that even while we were yet in our sin, he hung, bled, and died, so that we all might have a way back to the tree of life. And for that, Father, we say thank you, Lord. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for healing us. Thank you for delivering us. And thank you for providing for us, Father, in every area of our lives, Father. Every area of our lives. Salvation, every area of our lives. Healing, in every area of our lives. Provision, in every area of our lives. Deliverance, in every area of our lives, Father. For I have not seen, nor have I ears heard, nor has it even entered into our hearts, all the mighty and great things that you have done for us, Father. And for that, Lord, again, I say thank you. So I come to you through your gates with thanksgiving, and I come into your courts with praise. For you're so worthy, Father. You're worthy of all our praises, Father, and I give you the highest praise. For what I've learned and what I'm told, Father, that hallelujah is the highest praise. So I say hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, you're so worthy. You're so worthy, Father. Of all the praise, all the glory, all the honor, all the credit. Hallelujah. Father, we come, Lord, through this broadcast, through this radio waves, Father. And we call it the holy place where you would assemble your people together, Lord, where we can come and sit at the king's table, eat the king's food, Father, and be built up, Father. Not just hyped up, but built up, Father. For you say in your word, ye have commended us unto the word of your grace, which is able to build us up and give us our inheritance among those who are sanctified. We thank you for our services that we've rendered to you, whether it's on a Sunday or a Saturday or midweek service, prayer meeting. We thank you for all those places that you have provided, Lord, that we can come through and serve you. The gates of thanksgiving, the courts of praise, the holy place. But most important, Father, we give you glory and honor and praise, Lord, that you have called us, Lord, through the gates of Thanksgiving, through the courts of praise, through the holy place, all the way behind the veil, Father, into your little presence. But, Father, we know, Lord, that can't no man come to you except he be drawn by the Holy Spirit. And anybody just can't come to you except they be invited. Therefore, Father, we thank you for the invitation. For you said in your word, come, all you with heavy laden. You said in your word, come boldly to the throne of your grace. You said, Father, that we can come, that you pointed out to us the golden step of righteousness, signifying that we can come boldly into your very presence and obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So we take you up on that awesome invitation, Father, and here we are, Lord, sitting at your feet at the king's table to eat the king's food, to be nourished and built up, Lord, by you, Father. For it's always been your desire, Lord, that you be our king, that you be our Lord, that you be our God, that you be our Savior, that you be our everything. But, Father, I just ask that you would anoint these lips to claim, and that you anoint all of our ears, Father, that we may hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to the church in this hour. And, Father, we'll be careful to give you the credit, the praise, the honor. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, both now and forever, in the mighty precious name and the authority that's in your word. We come, Father. Feed us, Father. Bread of heaven, here's our cup. Fill us up and make us whole. And once again, we're careful to give you all of the credit, all of the praise, all of the honor. For the kingdom belongs to you, and all of us who dwell therein belong to you. Everything is yours. You are Lord. We don't make you Lord. You are Lord. And once again, Lord, thank you. Now feed us, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hey, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God out there in radio land, under the sound of my voice. I thank God for all of you under there, under the sound of my voice. You know, and I thank God for not only all of you who are under the sound of my voice, but for all the men and women of God that God will anoint to minister his word to his people. Hallelujah. I thank God for ministers like Moments of Inspiration with Bishop Townsend and Lady Mildred, you know, who come on right before I do. You know, what an awesome ministry that they are. Not only them, but for all the other ministers that you're raising up in the earth that's designed to build your people up, Father, to lift them up, Father, to strengthen them, to minister to them the uncompromised word of the Most High God, Father. So we lift up all those ministers to you, my Father. Hallelujah. And we say, Father, continue to work through them, continue to anoint them, Father, continue to bless them, so they may continue to be a blessing to your people, Father. And Lord, for that we say thank you too, Lord God. Hallelujah. And Father, we just thank you for Kingdom Life Ministry. But Father, this I don't want to pat ourselves on the back, but this is a unique ministry, my Father. Not to say that it's more than any other ministry, because we all are called according to your purpose and your counsel and your will. And each of us have different assignments. We have many parts of the body. You know, you got the ears, the eyes, the hands, the feet, but it's all one body, my Father. All different assignments, but it's all one body with one means, Father. Hallelujah. Different giftings, Father, but all, Father, with one destination, Lord. And that's the establishment and the advancement and expansion and advancement of your kingdom upon this earth, your original intent and plan and purpose for our lives. So continue to bless your people, continue to bless your ministries, continue to bless those who hear our word that you would minister to us, and continue to allow the Holy Spirit to revelate to them, my Father God, what we say. So their faith don't be in the wisdom of man, but in the power of the Holy Ghost and your power, Father. So that blind eyes might be opened, deaf ears might be unstopped, the lame walk, the dead, those who are dead in trespass and sin, raised to life again, my Father God. Oh, Lord. Somebody say, what do you say? I say, Father, you can have your way in all our lives, in all your ministry, Father. Your kingdom come and your will be done in all our lives here on earth, just like it is in heaven. You sent your word, and your word healed us. You sent your word, and your word saved us. You see, everything you do, Lord, you do with your word, Father. So continue to send your word, Father, to Kingdom Life Fellowship Ministries, ministry like Moments of Inspiration. Hallelujah. Continue, Father, to do what you do best, Lord, and that's to edify and build your people up, Father, for this purpose. Hallelujah. So that we might receive our inheritance. What you said in your word, Father, in Acts chapter 20, around verse 32, you said that you would commend us unto, you would place us under the word of your grace. I ain't talking about the religious grace. I'm talking about that kingdom grace, that grace that's designed not to cover up our sins, because your blood do that, but that grace that's designed to bring us out of our sin, to deliver us out of sin, so that we might walk in the beauty of holiness, which is able to build us up and give us our inheritance, all of the kingdom of heaven that has been prepared for all of us, y'all, before the foundations of the world. So come, every one of you under the sound of my voice, and get your inheritance. It belongs to you. It's free. It's a gift from God. What? All of the kingdom of heaven that was prepared for you before the foundation of the world. Come get your gift. What? Eternal life. For the penalty for sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Come get your grace in your faith. For it's by grace that we are saved. Through faith. And that's not of ourselves. That too is a gift from God. Come get your kingship, your sovereign reign. Hallelujah. For Romans chapter 5 say, boy, through his righteousness, we shall reign in life. Through the gift, the free gift of righteousness, we shall reign in life. So, hey, listen, man, every last one of you understand, my boy, come get your free gift. Come get the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, that you lost in Adam's disobedience, but because of Jesus Christ's obedience has been restored back to you. Glory to God. You know that's one of the reasons why Jesus Christ came to this earth? Glory to God. But what ought a boy to bring the kingdom of heaven back to you? What he came for? He just few of the reasons why. To reestablish God's kingdom back upon the earth. He came in to get the Holy Spirit back on the inside of man, not just among them and not just around them, and not just what would come upon them every now and then leave, but get him back on the inside of every man, every woman, and every boy, and every girl that will receive the free gift of salvation. And man, he came to restore every last one of us back into the presence of the Most High God. You and I were separated from the presence of the Most High God, born in sin and shaped in iniquity. But thanks be unto God, hallelujah, wherewith he loved us with. Hallelujah, that even while we were dead in trespassing and sin, he has redeemed our life from the destruction that Adam sold us into and restored all of us back into the literal presence of the Most High God. That's why I always say on this radio broadcast, let's go all the way, man, through the gates of thanksgiving, through the courts of praise, through the holy place, through the church service, through the prayer meetings, through the Bible study, all the way into the presence of the Most High God. Hallelujah. Boy, that's the secret place that David was talking about, under the shadow of the Most High, where you can say of the Lord, he's my refuge, he's my fortress, my God, in him I put all my trust and confidence. In that place, everything is all right. Listen, when Adam and Eve them was walking and talking with God in the cool of the day in the Garden of Eden, they wasn't worried about nothing. All hell didn't break loose until they got put out of the presence of the Lord. But as long as they were in the presence of the Lord, man, everything was all right. Everything was all right. And boy, they got put out of the presence of the Lord. And when they got put out of the presence of the Lord, then they began to have children. And all their children were born outside of the presence of the Lord. But thanks be unto God for his love, which he loved us with, that he has redeemed our life from that destruction that Adam sold us into and restored us, man, back to the presence of the Most High God. Good God Almighty. That's why Jesus came. And let's not, like I said last week and the last couple of weeks, let's not get preoccupied with the means. And forth at the end, what boy? That boy, the kingdom of God, man, has been reestablished back on the earth. And the Holy Spirit has once again come, took up residence on the inside of every last one of us. And boy, I'm talking about, man, you come on back into the presence of the Most High God. Become conscious of that, that wheresoever you go, everywhere you go, God is with you. Listen, if you knew that you knew that you knew that you knew, and that's what God wants you to do, know that you 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 know beyond any shadow of a doubt that no matter where you find yourself at, where your heavenly Father is with you, wheresoever you go. If you make your bed in hell, that means in the graveyard, in death, he's there. There for what? To raise you up from the grave just like he did Jesus. Didn't the Bible say the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you? It shall also quicken your mortal bodies too. Well, I'm talking about, boy, y'all watching Kick Up on My Shunder. We've been preoccupied with the meaning. We've been having church around me and all these exceeding great and precious promises that God has made to us and not partook of the divine nature, man, that it was designed to give us and escape all the corruption that's in this world. What? All those exceeding great and precious promises. He promised to be a very present help in a time of need. He promised never to leave us, never to forsake us. He promised, man, he made a whole bunch of promises to us, hallelujah. And boy, my greatest concern is, man, that those promises that he's made to every last one of us, all of his children, is gone unclaimed. Good God Almighty. I remember my wife said a long time ago, God showed her a vision, man, of a big old giant warehouse, man. And in this warehouse, man, it had nothing but crates and big old crates, and I mean stacked from the floor all the way up to the ceiling. I'm talking about lines and rows of it, a whole big old giant warehouse full of it. And she said, she asked the Lord, what if in those crates? And the Lord told her, that's all the blessings, man, that my people never claimed. That's all the exceeding great and precious promises that I gave them, man, that they never received. It's still here for them. It's reserved here for them, but it was theirs, man, before the foundation of the world. They lost it in Jesus. I mean, Adam and Jesus Christ come, got it back for them, and man, they lived and died, and never, man, claimed all their blessings, never claimed all their inheritance, never claimed all those exceeding great and precious promises. Hallelujah. Never claimed. And boy, that's my greatest fear, man. There's so many of God's people, man, are living and dying, man, without, man, getting their inheritance. Not getting, man, all the promises that God has promised us. Not getting everything that we have need of that pertains to life and godliness. Not getting your sovereignty back, man. Not getting your dominion back. Not getting your purpose back, man. Not living, man, life to the full. Not dying, man, empty. But living and dying like mere men and mere women when all the time we are the mighty men and mighty women and the mighty sons and daughters of the Most High God. Yeah, we living and dying like mere men. When all the time the Bible say, ye are little gods and children of the Most High God. I'm talking about if a child of God, if a son of God, then an heir of God. That's what your Bible say in Galatians. An heir of God. Say, we no longer servants, but sons of God. If sons of God, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. All your inheritance, man, going unclaimed. All up there in heavenly places reserved for you. And all the time, all you got to do is come to the knowledge that that's yours, and that's yours not in a sweet by and by, but that's yours right now. And then when you start staking claim on it, how you stake claim on that order? By coming to the knowledge that that's yours, that belongs to you. And by faith, appropriating that in your life. What? All those exceeding great and precious promises that we can partake of and escape the corruption that's in this world. That gives us the ability to partake of the divine nature of God. What's the divine nature of God? That's the way God created us in his image and his likeness. What? In his character, his nature. That means, man, us having the same characteristics that God and naturally, just like him. Naturally, just like him. I'm going to say that again. He made us in his image and his likeness. Image is character and nature. Character is his attributes, what he's like, all that he is, all that he consists of. What's nature? Naturally like him. What's likeness? Functioning like him. Talking like him. Living like him. Thinking like him. Being like him. Doing like him. Well, that's how he created you. You lost that in Adam, man, but let me tell you something. The good news, the gospel, is not just the gospel of Jesus Christ, but the gospel that Jesus Christ preached. That's why I love this ministry and assignment that he gave us. He ain't called me to preach the gospel of Jesus. He called me to preach the gospel that Jesus Christ preached. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is automatically contained in it. So you listen, you can preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and never mention nothing about the gospel that he preached. I done heard that so many times, man, all my life. I hear people, man, in ministry, man, great ministry, the men and women of God, man, talk all about the goodness of God and the grace of God and Jesus Christ and all the things that he did. But I had never heard them say nothing, man, about the kingdom of God. Or it was the byproduct of a message. But the central band message, the central theme of everything that Jesus, the central focus of everything that Jesus Christ preached, man, was about the kingdom of God. I heard great messages, but I never heard nothing on the kingdom of God. I went to Bible college. I went to one of the biggest Bible colleges in the United States, the College of Biblical Studies over there in Dallas, man. They had one in Houston, man, that I went to for a few semesters. And, man, let me tell you something, boy, they have no curriculum, man, on what the Bible is all about. The Bible is about a king. It is about his kingdom. And it's about his royal family, his kids. And it's about the expansion of his kingdom. What's his kingdom? The kingdom of heaven. Well, the earth. Listen, you do the math. How many messages, man, have you heard, man, about the kingdom of God? Well, that's the subject matter of the message. I ain't talking about the byproduct of it. The subject matter of it. Now, don't misunderstand me. I ain't saying that, man, all the other messages that they ain't saying is in error or wrong. But all those are means to an end. And watch this here. You can't get to the end without the means. So all those messages, man, in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's very necessary. But don't just stop there. That's what I'm saying. That's a going on in God. Until we reach the fullness of a stature of Christ. That's what the Bible says he gave a fivefold ministry for. What? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of their ministry. Till we all come to the unity of the faith, man, and to a stature of Jesus Christ. Until we become just like Jesus. Until we all grow, man. What, man? Us being who were followers transformed into leaders, and from leaders to agents of change. And then, man, God, all over that God has assigned us, man, to be the bishop and shepherd of their soul, is to do the same thing in them. Well, build them up for the work of their ministry so that they be filled with the knowledge of God's will too. So they be strengthened in the inner man, so that they grow entire one another, so that they, man, go on and grow even higher than where we are. Most ministry trying to maintain followers. That ain't what Jesus did, man. He changed them followers into leaders, and them leaders into agents of change who went about, man, and changed their environment, influenced their environment, changed their circle of influence, changed the world. Good God Almighty. Hey, Lord. What you talking about, Art? I'm talking about, boy, the gospel that Jesus Christ preached. What? As I am, so are you. The work that I do, so shall you. As the Father sent me, so send I you. What we've been preaching, well, I ain't going to say we. Well, know what most ministry preach? They preach the good news about Jesus. You know what Jesus Christ preached? He preached the good news about you and me. Paul said it this way, man, in the last chapter of Acts, in the last three verses. He said he stayed in his high house for 2.5 years or 3 years or however long it was, and he received all those who came unto them, and he preached unto them the kingdom of heaven, and he taught them about the Lord Jesus Christ in that order. He preached the kingdom first, and then he taught them about Jesus Christ. What most ministers do, they preach, man, they teach about Jesus Christ and don't tell people nothing about the kingdom. But the people don't know nothing about the kingdom. They think it's in the sweet by and by. They got their own concept. They think, man, that we're going to go to heaven and live in heaven forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. That's not what the Bible teaches. I ain't saying we ain't going to heaven. If you die, you're going to go to heaven. But that ain't where you're going to spend eternity. You're coming back. Hallelujah. In fact, Jesus Christ is going to make sure that you come back. Why? He's going to raise your body from the ground. Glory to God. You can't reign in heaven. That's God's territory. Excuse me. He created you to have dominion and gave you, and called you a king, a ruler, and gave you a territory for you to rule over. What, the earth? That's your territory, not heaven. That's God's territory. The earth he gave to man. And listen, his plans of accomplishing his overall original intent, his plans might change, but his purpose ain't never going to change. His purpose is to extend his governing influence of his territory, heaven, to earth. And his plan of doing it was to do it through his family of sons called mankind. I ain't talking about black, white, Mexican, none of that. I'm talking about mankind, all mankind. Be preoccupied, man, with the means, man. And I hear some people, man, talk about the Moors and the Hoes and this and that and the Egyptian, who is the real man, Israelite and all that. Man, good God Almighty. But all that's the means, man, to an end. And the devil most successful attack to get up preoccupied with that, man. That where that controversy, man, and difference of opinion and all that. Man, God ain't into all of that. God ain't made but one race, man. That's the human race. Ain't got nothing to do with no black or white or nothing like that. If you want to get really technical with it, man, you want to say, well, hey, man, the first black man, the first man up on the earth was black. Well, man, that's a serious indictment against the black man then. Why? Because if the first black man, if the first man on the earth was a man of color, then it was the man of color who sold us into slavery. I ain't talking about the slavery, man, like, man, what the black folk did or what they did in America here. I'm talking about slavery into a man, the devil. Sold us under slavery into the devil. You can say Adam was a black man. Well, it was the black man that caused all of us to be born in sin and shaped in iniquity. You didn't want to get technical. But God ain't concerned about, man, black man, white man, slavery this and all that and all this here, man. The main thing he's concerned about is the slavery man that Adam sold us into under the devil. And all this other slavery, man, that's been happening in the earth today is a result of that original slavery that Adam sold us into. So it wasn't what the white man did to cause the earth to be like this and cause us to be like this here. If you want to get technical, it was what the first man did. If you want to say he's black, then whoa, man, listen here. That's a serious indictment against the black man. Not the white man. Talking about what the black man, what the white man did to us as slaves. What about what Adam sold us into? All of us, the whole human race. I don't care who you are, red, white, black, yellow, orange, green. I don't care what nationality you are. I don't care what ethnic group you are. You're all born in sin and shaped in iniquity. But God, the head Lord, in his grace and his mercy, man, look past all our faults and all our mistakes and all our shortcomings, all our bickering and everything else, and all our difference of opinion, and he saw our need, what is that? To be loved unconditionally. And boy, I'm telling you, he displayed that love, boy, that while we were yet in our sin, while we were yet, man, you know, arguing about who's this and who and what day Jesus was born on and all that mess, man, that ain't got nothing to do with the kingdom of God. That's all in religion. That's all that's in the ways of this world system. But the Bible tells me that God has translated us out of the kingdom of darkness over into the kingdom of his dear son. Where in there, ain't no racism in there, not in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of hell. Ain't no poverty in there. Ain't no sickness and disease in there. Ain't no hatred in there. Ain't no racism in there. Ain't no man different ethnic groups in there. Not in the kingdom of hell. Hallelujah. It ain't but one people. Jesus prayed that we all might be one. Just like him and his father is one, he prayed, Father, may they be one, who all mankind. So that man said, when they become one, and stop all this difference and different nationality and different ethnic groups and all that, but man, realize that they're all part of one race, what? The original race that God created, what? The human race. What's a human race? That's a spirit living in an earthen vessel. Humus, man. What humus is? Dirt. What man is? Spirit. What a human is, that's a spirit man living in an earthen vessel. Hallelujah. And for the color is concerned, man, that ain't got nothing to do with God. Ain't got nothing to do with that. What he got to do with man is what man is, the human, the humus man, the spirit that's living in an earthen vessel. Because of what color the vessel is, that ain't got nothing to do with it, man. Because we all one. God ain't got no respect of person. And boy, he wants us to come to the knowledge of that. And when you really come to the knowledge of that, then, man, you won't be having no hatred against the black man or the white man or this man or that man, man. You'll love your neighbor even if you are loved by your God. Because you will see, man, that it ain't flesh and blood that we are wrestling against, but it's principalities and powers and rules of darkness and wicked spirits in high places who let the devil and all his demon cohorts to keep us, what, divided. To keep us separated. For what purpose? So that we don't walk in that love. That we don't obey that commandment, what? To love one another, even as we are loved by our God. But baby, somebody say, what do you say? I say, but boy, in these last days, this gospel of the kingdom is being preached. And it's removing every burden and destroying every yoke. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because that's what the God said. That's what the king said. And boy, all I know is what the king say, that's what it's going to be. I don't care if it ain't that way. I don't care if it don't look that way. I don't care if it ain't that way in the natural right now and everything else. Yet that don't nullify. That can't alter the word that has gone forth out of the Most High God's mouth. If he said, baby, they come, my son, that his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and we shall reign up on the earth as one man, one mankind, then, baby, that's what it's going to be. Lord. And that's what it's becoming. And our assignment, man, as the church, is, man, allow God by the power of the Holy Spirit to reestablish that upon the earth. like you had it in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. One mankind, all mankind. When you were talking to Adam and Eve, you were talking to everybody. And everybody consists of all the ethnic groups. All of them. Because everybody comes from that one body. So when you were talking to that one body in the garden, you were talking to everybody. Because everybody comes from that one body. So when he told that one body, be fruitful and multiply and subdue and replenish the earth, he's talking to everybody. When he told that one body, have dominion, man, over all the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and the cattle and over all the earth, he was talking to everybody. When he told that one body, man, be in my image and be in my likeness and rule and reign, man, over every circumstance, situation, and something in your life, he was talking to everybody. And boy, when we get back, man, to what? This gospel of the kingdom. What's the gospel of the kingdom? The good news that all of the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God is available to you, to us. Listen, no terminology is used in the Bible. It's two of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. They use synonyms in the Bible, but they mean different things. The kingdom of heaven is a literal place. It's unseen, but it's the literal place. It's the territory over which, man, our Father in heaven, the Most High God, where he rule and he reigns. That's his territory. That's his domain. But the domain of God, what that is. What's a domain? That's a place. It's unseen, man, but it's real, more real than the seen realm. In fact, man, the seen realm, man, came from it, the unseen realm. And they call it kingdom of heaven. That's the literal place itself. And you can't even imagine, man, the splendor of it. The best you could come up with is a joke compared to the splendor and the glory of that territory. That's the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God, that's the governing influence of God over any territory. What's the kingdom of God? That's meant any place where God has power, control, and influence over. That can be anywhere. If God got power and control and influence in your life, in your home, then that's the kingdom of heaven, man, in that spot. But that's the kingdom of God. What you mean power and control and influence? What God is doing, and when you allow God to be God, and when not, man, our religion and our denomination, our church, and all this be, man, be God, but let God be God. And let what his rule and his reign and what his authority and what he desires, let that be. And when you let that be, when you let that have, man, the governing influence and the control over your life, then that's the kingdom of God, man, in your territory, in your heart, in your life, in your home, in your family, on your spot, wherever you are, wherever you will allow God to have governing control and influence in your life and power, that's the kingdom of God. And wherever that is in display and being allowed to take place, then, boy, that's the kingdom of heaven being manifested. Watch this here. First and foremost, in the earth. In what the earth? Well, we say he formed your body from the earth. That's humus. And then he placed you in the body. That's spirit. And what you got there? A human, a humus man, a spirit. Man is spirit. Humus is dirty, earthy. So a human is a spirit that lives in an earthen vessel. For what purpose? So he can have control over his physical earth. So he made you a physical vessel to live in so that you could have authority and dominion so that God could rule and reign on his earth through you. And notice what he said. And God said, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, everything that creepeth upon the earth. Who is them? That's mankind. That's spirits, man, that live in the body. God can't even do nothing in the earth without a body. Why do you think you call a body of Christ? But God can't do nothing in the earth without you. I mean, listen, we know that he can't do everything. There ain't nothing impossible that he can't do, but he ain't going to violate his word. He said, let them have dominion. He excluded himself from that. Now, if he say, let us have dominion, then he could have came in and usurped authority over us. That's why he couldn't do nothing, man, when Adam and Eve, them men, made the choice to do what they wanted to do and ate off that tree. Why? Because he said, let them have dominion. So everything that's going on the earth, man, you want to blame God for it and everything else and wonder why God let that happen and why God let this happen upon the earth. And some people, man, get all upset with God and don't want to believe in God because they think God is the one who caused all this stuff to come upon the earth. That ain't God. That's you. That's mankind. That was Adam who did that. And then when you and I were born, we were born in sin and separated from God. So it was passed down to us. So, man, it ain't what God allowed to happen on the earth. It's what we allowed to happen on the earth. When God and gave us dominion over the earth, Adam took the dominion and gave it to the devil. And the devil plunged our earth that God gave us, man, and gave us the dominion over for a purpose, what, to make it in our territory just like it is in his territory. For what purpose? So it might be on earth just like it is in heaven. The religion and the preoccupied us, man, trying to leave earth, man, and go to heaven. Man, that's wrong. That's backward, man. The devil can be, the Bible says he's transformed himself into an angel of light and defeat the very elect. With all the religious people, man, trying to get to heaven. But Jesus prayed, man, Lord, Father, I don't pray that you take him out of the earth, man, but that you take him out, deliver him from the evil that's on this earth. Why, so they might occupy until I come back, right? So they might get back on course to their original plan and purpose that you have for their life, that they have dominion over the earth, that they make it on earth like it is in hell, and that you give them everything that they have need of to accomplish that. That was the word when God, when he said, and God blessed them. I mean, God gave them everything that they had need of to accomplish, man, his will and his intent and his desire for their life. And what's his will and intent and desire for our life? You've been praying it all your life, but have not understood because of a lack of knowledge and a lack of understanding. What? Thy kingdom come. Why? Because when thy kingdom come, thy will can be done well on earth. Well, on earth. Well, on earth. Not your will be done in heaven. Thy will be done on earth. When the kingdom come. That's what he told you to pray for. Pray that the kingdom come back to the earth. Why? So that God can get man the earth back on course toward the destination that he set for it. What's the destination he set? That it might be on earth, just like it is in heaven. How are you going to accomplish that? Through you. Through me. Through mankind. What's the strategy for accomplishing that? Other? To fill you up with himself, with his power, with his ability, with his might. That's the Holy Spirit. So God breathed on the inside of man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Ooh, that spirit that's living in that body, man, filled with the Holy Spirit that's in the spirit that's living on in the body on the earth. But what purpose, Arthur? So that by the power of the Holy Ghost, man, we might accomplish, man, God's will and desire and original intent for all our lives. What that is, man? That we begin to take our place as who we really are. Not just members of a church, but citizens of a kingdom. Not just servants of the Lord, but sons and daughters of the Most High God. Not just men, men tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, but mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God, led by the power of the Holy Ghost. That we might not be divided and separated, men, in this denomination and that denomination, and this group and that group and all this, but that we all might be one. Just like Jesus and his Father is one. And we might be one too. For what purpose? So that Jesus and the Father who are one, and you and I who are one, so they might live in us and we might live in them, and we all might be one. One in character, one in nature, one in desire, one in purpose. One, 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 one. Glory to God. And here we are, man, preoccupied, man, with having church, man, and different of opinions and different of religions and traditions and rituals and ritual law. Man, listen, all that's a means to an end. And Jesus said, I didn't come to do away with that, man. I come to fulfill that. For what purpose? So you can get back on course toward, man, what the original plan and purpose and destiny that God has for our lives. You know, I come to discover, you know, that the problem is, man, you know, it's not that we don't have no knowledge of the word of God. It's not that we don't have no wisdom. The Bible said, get knowledge and get wisdom, but in all you're getting, get an understanding. And see, that's what the deal is, man. Oh, you got theologians and everything else, man. They got all kind of knowledge of the word of God. They can exegete, eisegete, and hermeneutics and all that other stuff and then everything else. And, man, I'm talking about I ain't seen no curriculum. I don't know how it is now, but, man, that when I went to school, that was back in the early 2000s. And, man, I'm talking about a few years ago, I had checked it out. I still couldn't find no curriculum, man, in the Bible college, in the university, in theologian schools, man, where they had any curriculum, man, on the kingdom of God. Well, that's what the Bible is all about. But you don't have no. How come with that argument, man? That's because, man, the God of this world system and blinding our eyes and hardening our heart that seeing we see not, and hearing we hear not. Because if it did, then I'm talking about every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl, they'll be preaching the same thing Jesus Christ preached. What Jesus Christ preached? Repent. It don't mean go down to the altar and say, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me for all I did. That's remorse. Repent means to change your whole way of thinking. To come back to the top way of thinking. What? The thoughts of God, to think like God thinks, to get the original idea in mind and thoughts of God and begin to think that way. Jesus said, let that mind that was in Christ Jesus be on the inside of you, who thought it not a robbery to be equal with God. He said, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, so that you can prove what the good and acceptable and perfect will of God for our lives is. What's the perfect will of God for our lives? That it be in our lives here on earth, just like it is in heaven. Is it like that now? No. How come? Because this gospel of the kingdom ain't being preached, man, the way it's supposed to be. But that don't mean it ain't going to be preached, because the Bible says this here. And what the Bible says, that's what the king say. And the king say this here in Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. And this gospel, listen to what he say. He say, and this gospel of the kingdom, what gospel of the kingdom? What about it shall be preached in all the earth as a testimony to every nation, every kindred, every tongue, every language, every group. Why? And then the end going to come. When? It's not when no pandemic come on or no war and rumors of war and all that come on. Like we hear people saying, man, they see all these things coming up on the earth. They say, man, Jesus coming or all the time. And then, man, listen, that ain't what the Bible say. The Bible say when this gospel of the kingdom is preached in all the world as a testimony to every nation, then the end going to come. Now, I don't know what day or hour that's going to be, but that's when it's going to be. Well, when the end going to come, when? I don't know the day or the hour, but I know when this gospel of the kingdom is preached in all the world as a testimony. The church just now coming to the realization, man, that that's the greatest message, man, of all the messages. That don't mean that all the other messages are not great and not good and everything else, but that's the finality. That's the greatest one of them all. That's the consummation of all the messages, man, done together. That's all the other messages that mean to that one message right there. Because when it's all said and done, this gospel. Signifying that there are other gospels too, but he specified this one. This gospel. He ain't talking about any gospel. This gospel of the kingdom. Listen, when he sent them 10 disciples out, he told them this. He said, go into, don't go to the lost sheep of Israel. Don't go to the Gentile, but go to the lost sheep of Israel and preach this gospel. What? The kingdom of heaven, cast out devils and heal the sick. When he came to the earth, that's what he comes saying. Repent, change your whole way of thinking. Why? Because you've been conditioned, man, and trained and born to think and act a certain way. And as a man thinking in his heart, then so is he. But, man, now you've been thinking, man, I got to live right, do this, and give everything else. And you do have to live right, do this here. But, man, you ain't got to live right. They would have to do all that to try to make it to heaven. But, man, now you got to live right and everything else, not to try to make it to heaven, because, man, you had already made it. Glory to God. You already been translated out of the kingdom of darkness over into the kingdom of his dear son. Now, you don't live right, man, to get saved. You live right because you are saved. You don't come out of sin so that you could gain, man, try to appease deity. You come out of sin, man, because, man, you've been delivered already. You ain't got to do nothing, man, to earn this. It's a gift from God. For by grace are you saved, through faith. And that's not of ourselves. That's a gift from God. I wonder if you left that gift under the tree. I wonder if a lot of us know about the gift, man. And one thing to get, and listen, I was talking last week, man, it's a good thing to receive the gift and to get the gift, man, from under the tree. But it's something that's even going on from there. They got some people, folks, man, they even got their gifts, man, that God gave them. Up under the tree. Now, I guarantee you didn't leave none of them gifts that we got one for another under the tree. They already been open, some of them, especially all their kids, they all broke up and done away with now. All our stuff is used now and everything else, man. And they start, man, to get over it, man, and everything else. But, man, I'm talking about, man, what about the original gift? What about the mother gift? Did we give it? Did we sit around the tree, man, and tell our family, man, and our loved ones, man, about the love of God that was in Christ Jesus, man, that displayed, man, when he came to this earth himself in the person of his son, Jesus Christ, the love of God that he so loved till he came himself, that, man, those who believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Did we, man, open that gift, man, and share that gift with each other? Did we share that gift, man, of righteousness with each other? That's a gift. That's nothing you earn. That's a gift. But just, yeah, man, the Holy Spirit, man, around the Christmas holidays with your loved ones and your family members and in the world and all your circle of influence. That you didn't tell the people, man, the importance of men, why God, man, told us to assemble ourselves together and gave us gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, to build us up, to educate us, to train us, so that we could get our gifts, man, so that we could know about those gifts and rejoice around those gifts. And those of us, man, who do know about the gifts, man, it's one thing to know about the gifts and everything else, man, and to even talk about it. But, boy, that's a going on in God, boy. I wonder, man, if we, those of us who have come to the knowledge of the gift, grab the gift from under the tree, I wonder how many of you have opened up the gift, unwrapped that gift of salvation, and walking and living in the reality of it. Unwrapped, not just received the box and everything else and got the gift from under the tree, but unwrapped it and opened up the box and got that salvation out of it, got the eternal life that's in the box, man, out of it, got the grace and the faith, man, and the righteousness and the Holy Spirit and allow, man, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the gift of wisdom. That they're opening up the gifts and, man, are using those gifts and allowing those gifts to be manifested in our lives, because therein is the fullness of life. Lord, but when, man, we operate, man, in the purpose, man, for Christmas, not just celebrate, man, what it is, but coming to the knowledge of why it is. Because when you celebrate what it is, then you just celebrate it, man, once a year. But when you come to the knowledge of why it is, then you celebrate it 24/7, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, for all eternity. Right, because those gifts, the gift of salvation, the gift of eternal life, the gift of grace and faith, the gift of righteousness, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of wisdom, those are eternal gifts. They'll last forever. Glory to God. But boy, we preoccupied with the mean. That's why I said all that to say this here. That's why I brought my assignment on this radio broadcast and in the ministry that God had given me, man, to come preach to you, man, this gospel of the kingdom. I ain't got no other messages. That's it. And listen to me carefully. I ain't knocking none of the other messages, man, because all those messages, man, like I say, is a means to an end, and you can't get to the end without the means. But don't stay preoccupied with the means, man. Let's go on to what the purpose for the means is, to get us to the end. What's the end? All of the kingdom of heaven. The Bible said in the book in your Bible in Revelation, behold, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from heaven. And the dwelling place of God was with the sons of man. What, man, man, God was in our, just like he was in the Adam and Eve presence, man, on the earth in the Garden of Eden, way back in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. And at the end, the consummation of all this, everything, with everything you said and done, that's what it's going to be like again. Well, only this time it's going to be forever. Well, you're going to be in heaven on earth. The whole earth is going to be a Garden of Eden. And the whole earth, man, the Garden of Eden is the presence of the Lord. And in that place, man, the atmosphere and the environment that was in the Garden of Eden was conducive, man, to the atmosphere and the environment of God's territory, boy, hell. So that when it's all said and done, they're going to be on earth like it is in heaven. And guess where you're going to be at? You're going to be on earth, too. They're going to be in our life here on earth just like it is in heaven. How long are they? Forever and ever and ever and ever. The Bible says all the kingdoms of the world have become one with the kingdom of our God. Lord. You're trying to get to heaven, man. You know, let me tell you something. If you want to get to heaven, all you got to do is go out there in the traffic. Go get, all you got to do is die. You're going to go there. But the only way you're going to stay, you're going to go there, man, until, man, God is finished what he's doing. And then, man, after all those who of us who have gone on to heaven, once we die and leave this physical earth, then, boy, when it's all said and done, we coming back. That's why there's a resurrection of the body. Hey, Lord. Why? So we can come back, man, to the earth and start ruling and reigning on the earth forever. Now, here's the good news. You ain't got to wait till the end. The good news is, man, that kingdom of heaven is available to you right now. You can take your place and start operating in your authority and your sovereignty right now. Or you ain't going to reach the fullness of it, perhaps not in this life. But, man, you can start becoming there. Why? Because it's already yours. And what our assignment is? It's to work. Work the work of him who sent me. What the work mean? To become. That's what the word work means, to become. To become what? Everything that God said about you. If he say you saved, then become that, the reality of it. Starting with a seed farm, man, and then cultivate it, water it, nourish it, man, and keep on, man, watering and cultivating and nourishing until they grow up, man, and produce the fruit of it, the fullness of it, the glory of it. What it's doing is, boy, we becoming. Becoming what? Who we already are. That's the work that he says to do. I ain't talking about a job. I'm talking about a word. There's a difference between a job and word. A job is, man, something you do, man, to produce, man, income and livelihood and everything else. A work is what you were born to do. They can fire you from your job, but they can never fire you from your work. What's your work? To become. Become what? Everything that God said that you are, and everything that God said about you. If he say you the head, not the tail, become that. If he say by stripes you healed, become that. If he say you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, become that. If he said, man, let me tell you something, no weapon formed against you ever be at a prophet, become that. If he say you just like me and the work that I do, shall you do also, then become that. How you become that author? Through operating some laws in the kingdom. What's the law? What law? One of the laws is the law of sowing and reaping. How you become that? When you take the seed of the word of God, whatever that seed might be, if it's healing, if it's deliverance, if it's provision, if it's salvation, if it's righteousness, if it's whatever, if it's reproof, rebuke, correction, if it's chastisement, you take the seed of that word and you start planting it in your heart. How you planting in your heart? You start speaking it. You start saying what God say about you. You put it in your mouth. See, you can get some faith, man, by hearing what I say, but, boy, when we begin to hear ourselves say what God say, then, boy, that faith can be developed. Then, why? Because, boy, you're operating a law in the kingdom, what's called a law of sowing and reaping. And be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sow, that shall he reap. That's why he told Joshua, he said, listen, Joshua, don't let this book of the law depart out of your mouth. What's the book of the law? The word of God. Well, when you find out what I say about you, especially in the new covenant, then you start saying that. And don't let it depart out of your mouth. What you're doing then? You plant it. You sowing it. And then, man, as you keep on saying it, then you're watering it. And then you're cultivating it, man. And then when doubt and unbelief and circumstance and situation and symptoms come to oppose itself against that, maybe you keep on saying it and you keep on doing it. What you doing? Then you're putting the insecticide on it. Then you're weeding out, man, the canker worm and the anchor worm and the palmer worm and all the other, man, things that come in to destroy your harvest and your crop, man. You take some insecticide, some of that pardon like they do on these natural crops. What pardon you talking about? I'm talking about the pardon of the word of God, the word of faith. And you keep on saying it, and you keep on saying it, and you keep on saying it. How long, Brother Arthur? Forever. It become a way of life. And what's taking place, boy, you keep on saying, don't get weary, because you're doing well. Why? Because in due season, you're going to reap. If you don't cave in and give up and quit, because you don't see instant results. See, that's what happened. Because we don't see the instant results, then we cave in and give up and quit. Sometimes we want, man, instant results. Well, you got to grow to the place where you get there. You got to grow up in the things of God, man, until wherever you begin to speak, things happen. Let me close with this here. You know, a lot of things, man, we speak, man, and then things don't happen. It reminds me of a story. You remember when Jesus and the three boys went up on the mountain? They called the mountain of transfiguration because they saw a great light. I call it the mountain of transfer. When who they met up there? Jesus met with Moses and Elijah. Who is Moses? Moses represents the law. Who is Elijah? He represents the prophet. What Moses gave the people? The law. This is how you're supposed to live. What Elijah represent? The prophet. What the prophet said? There's coming a Messiah. But when they met up on the mountain, man, a transfer, Jesus told Moses, you done well, buddy. You got the law established in the land and everything else so the people know what the law of the God is. He said, nah, I'll take it from here. And Moses passed the baton on to Jesus. He told him, went to Elijah, he said, Elijah, you represent the prophets. What the main thing the prophets kept prophesying? There's coming a Messiah. There's coming a Messiah. He's coming. Boy, Jesus told Elijah, he said, Elijah, you've done a great job. You got through you, all the prophets, every one of them, boy, main prophecy was there coming the Messiah. They prophesied some other things too, but the main thing was, boy, there coming the Messiah, and he's going to fix this thing up, boy. And Jesus told Elijah, he said, hey, listen, pass me that baton. You ain't got to tell him no Messiah coming no more. I'm here. Moses, you ain't got to tell him to do the law no more. I'm going to fulfill it, and I'm going to take it from here. And boy, I'm talking about, boy, they came back down after the transfer. He said, I ain't going to do away with the law and the prophets. I come to fulfill it. And remember when he came down, man, and the first thing he met, man, was a guy who had brought his son to the other disciples there, man. He had the unclean spirit or demons or whatever it was that he was possessed with. And, boy, them disciples couldn't do nothing with him. And, boy, the man told Jesus, Jesus, I brought my son to the disciples, but they couldn't do nothing with him. And Jesus said, man, how long must I be with you? Bring him here to me. And boy, when he brought him to Jesus, man, I'm talking about, boy, Jesus cast him out, man, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And the disciples, first thing they say was, Lord, how come we couldn't cast him out? See, that kind of comes not but by pride and fast. In other words, man, you got to grow. You got to grow to a level of maturity. What do you mean? Hey, listen, the Bible says a great while before day, Jesus Christ would get up and he would go and he prayed. Who knows, man? Probably a great while before day in that time, man, they started early in the morning. 4 to 6 o'clock, and they start the market coming around 8 o'clock. But the Bible says a great while before day. So anywhere between 4 and 8 o'clock, man, Jesus Christ was out there praying. Sometimes earlier than that, man. He spent 3-4 hours in prayer and then come back out and cast out a demon in 3-4 seconds. We spend 3-4 minutes in prayer and come back out, man, take 3-4 years or 3-4 months or 3-4 hours for us to try to cast out devil. What the difference is, man? And then the disciples saw that. They would watch Jesus. And they say, no, sir, man. Or Peter say, hey, Jay, you know something, man? I noticed something. Say, boy, Jesus go and he pray, man. Then he go out there and fellowship with God and go in God, man. 3-4 hours, man. And then when he come back out, man, and go out into the people, man, demons start to tremble and start running and call, Lord, you come to torment us for our time? And boy, he cast them out, man, they be gone. And then they say, man, they contributed all that to his prayer life. What the Bible say? That kind of comes out but by prayer and fasting. So you got to grow. I told you that's what's going on in God. But this reason was the Son of God manifested to destroy the works of the devil. See, a lot of us operating like little babies and little children, man, they want to cast out devils. Look out now. No, baby, you got to grow into a level of maturity when to face some of these demons that you're going to encounter. You might be able to cast out some principalities and power, but the rules of darkness and the wicked spirits in high places, you got to know who you are. You remember them seven sons of Sceva? I adjure you by the name of Jesus, who Paul preached, come out. What did demons say? Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? Well, my name is Brother Arthur LeBaron, and I'm Pastor Keenan Life Fellowship. Man, that ain't who you are. You got to better know who you are in Christ Jesus before you go out talking about some of these demons out here. You got to know who you are. And then until you get there, when you can't handle it, just do like me and that man did, bring him to Jesus. So when I face situations and everything else I can't handle, hey, I bring him to Jesus. And I keep on growing, and I keep on becoming, man. Why? Because that kind comes out but through prayer and fasting. So what you're saying, Arthur, is start spending, man, 3-4 hours, man, looking at TV and social media and all that other stuff, and start spending that in prayer and fellowshipping with the Father one-on-one, man, so that you can grow in time, man, so that when you face circumstance, situation, and symptom, man, that seemingly too big for you, that seem like giants in your life, then you can do like old David did, man. You can take one of them smooth rocks, one of them smooth scriptures out your heart, and you get to get in the whirl that thing and cast that thing, baby, and let me tell you something, boy, it'll knock that devil clean on out. And then after you knock him out, don't just leave it at that. You go take the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, and you cut his head off, and you will know that he's dead. Listen, y'all, my time is up. I look forward to ministering to y'all every week, and I pray that this ministry is a blessing to your life, that it edifies you and builds you up and give you your inheritance among those who are sanctified. Hey, listen, we're going to be opening up our ministry here in the Bunker area real, real soon. We're about to do it out of building. If we could be of any help to you, man, or you would like to know anything about Kingdom Life or our ministry, you can contact us at Kingdom Life Fellowship World Outreach Ministry. Area code 713-870-3776. Again, our contact number is Kingdom Life Fellowship World Outreach Ministry. Area code 713-870-3776. This means a blessing to you. We would love to hear from you, even if it's just a thumb up to let us know that you're with us and that you're here and that this message is a blessing to you. It would tremendously bless us to know that we are being a blessing to you. Hey, listen, once again, we love you with the love of the Lord, and that's one love, unconditional. Look forward to talking to you again next week. Until then, God bless you. Love you. Persecution.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur LeBain. We at Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry would like to thank you for allowing us the opportunity to serve you and your family. We trust that the messages on these broadcasts has been a tremendous blessing to your life. We pray and speak the blessing of God upon your life. And if we can be of further service to you, please feel free to contact us at Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry. Our phone number is 713-870-3776.
This is KAYT, Gina.